All right, Alexander, as if the world needed more drama and more problems with coronavirus and COVID-19, you know, now officially a pandemic, we have Turkey's Erdogan causing more trouble with migrants at the border between Turkey and Greece. He was recently in Brussels. He met with EU officials. He met with NATO. He got absolutely nothing that he asked for. He got sent back to Turkey, and now he is back in Turkey, once again, playing up to his domestic audience. I should also mention that he went to Moscow as well and got a big donut, zero there as well. Putin really really embarrassed him in Moscow, I would say, and I'm saying that lightly. You'll get into that, Alexander, but where Erdogan is strong is at home when he's playing to his domestic audience. Let me take you to Al Jazeera and what they have to say. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan accused Greek security forces on Wednesday of behaving like Nazis for using force against migrants and refugees trying to cross the border from Turkey. In the Turkish parliament, Erdogan showed legislators of his ruling AK party video footage of scenes at the Greek border. Quote, "There's no difference between those images on the Greek border and what the Nazis did," end quote, he said. "Opening fire on innocent people, exposing them to all kinds of inhumane treatment, it is barbarism in the full sense of the word," he said, repeating his call on Greece to let people cross its territory to reach richer Western European countries. Quote, "Why are you obstructing them so much and carrying out Nazi tortures on them?" he said. Now, responding to Erdogan's latest comments, Greek government spokesman Stelios Petsas denounced Holocaust comparisons. Quote, "Of course, the best answer to such ramblings is the same answer that the Central Israeli Council gave, that today's situation has nothing whatsoever to do with the Holocaust and to avoid such comparisons, even if it is being done for domestic communication needs by any country," Petsas said. Quote, "We tell everyone that they shouldn't attempt to get in through the window. There is a door. Whoever is entitled to protection should knock on that door and be entitled to protection based on international law." Alexander, I should also point out that there are many doctored videos on Twitter which are trying to basically paint Greece as the aggressor. One of the videos has like migrants stripped down to their underwear, supposedly, and they were drenched in water. And if you look further on the video footage, there's actually a cameraman directing those migrants to actually get that position, and their clothes are scattered throughout the picture. There's also a video of a journalist, a TRT world journalist, who goes by the name of Samir Sechfovich of TRT World. And he was pretending that there was live fire being shot at him when he was at the border.
They're shooting, so they've seen the camera, and they are shooting at us. So they are shooting at us. They have seen the camera and us, and we were protected by refugees as they tried to form a wall around us. Right now, they are shooting at us.
Samir, are they shooting live rounds of rubber bullets at you guys at the moment?
Right now, I can't make out, to be honest. It's it's very difficult to make out what exactly. So here's what they just shot at us just a minute ago to the left. So there's, I can't really make out what exactly they're shooting at us, as so much, so many different sounds are appearing here.
And okay.
As you can see,
okay, Samir.
Continue to be determined. They are not determined.
And as he's ducking for cover, pretending that there's live fire and live rounds coming towards him and the migrants are actually laughing at him. And I'm playing this video, so as I'm talking, people can see the video. So the migrants are actually laughing at him at how silly it looks. So there's also a lot of doctored video going out there on Twitter. Obviously a propaganda and disinformation campaign. Finally, Alexander, the New York Times also published an article, their own propaganda, saying that Greeks are running some sort of migrant camps in Greece to deal with the migrants. Of course, this should come as no surprise coming from the New York Times. And when the New York Times is gunning for you, Greece, be proud. That means you are on the right side of history. Let's not forget the New York Times also was the paper of record that supported the Iraq WMD's war. Libya, Syria, chemical weapons hoax, and the list goes on and on. Russia gate, Ukraine gate. Alexander.
Well, I mean, first of all, let's talk about what Erdogan is doing and what he said. Now, first of all, Erdogan is in this situation where everything that he's been trying to do over the last couple of weeks and indeed months is turning to dust. He tried to make this big play in Idlib province. He threatened, well, he said that he would throw back the Syrian army to its original Sochi lines. He sent thousands of troops into Idlib province, where they shouldn't be, by the way, not on that scale. He launched his drones to attack Syrian military positions and Syrian armor and Syrian soldiers. And what happened was that instead of the Syrian army being thrown back, it was his army that was forced to retreat. And a lot of young Turkish conscript soldiers were killed along the way in a way that is, you know, deeply tragic for them and for their families. And we should not forget that. I mean, that is the price of these sort of ambitions. And not only was he thrown back, but as we've discussed in our previous programs, he was obliged to go to Moscow. He was put through what must have been a very tough and difficult negotiation with the Russians, with Putin himself. He was made to sit in a room where, you know, a statue of Catherine the Great was hovering in the background. And after six hours, he came out with a sheet of paper, just, you know, one sheet of A4 size paper with a brief agreement, which basically said that he was obliged to pull back his troops and his jihadi followers in Idlib province from the key M4, M5 highways. The Syrian army retains control of the important town of Sarakib. The M5 highway is back under Syrian military control, and the jihadi forces that he supports were forced to pull back from the highway. Also, the M4 highway, which is now going to be patrolled by the Russian and Turkish armies jointly. And the follow-up to all of this is that there was a Russian military delegation went to Ankara, and they settled the details of this arrangement with the Turkish military. So the result is that his entire ploy in Idlib has failed. And he tried to use the migrant issue to put pressure on the Europeans to get them to support him on Idlib, and that failed. And then he's trying to get money from the Europeans at a time when Turkey's economy is in a bad way by, you know, using again the issue of the migrants for leverage, and that failed. And now he does what Erdogan so often does in these situations. Instead of pulling back, he doubles down rhetorically. He's making all these extraordinary claims against Greece about the Greeks being Nazis, about them behaving like Nazis. Anybody with any knowledge of the Second World War or of what Hitler and the Nazi regime did would know that these kind of comparisons are not absurd, merely absurd and delusional. They are deeply insulting. And I would add, that Greece was, of course, a country which was occupied by the Nazis, where the Nazis behaved with extreme brutality. And, of course, members of my own family were involved in the resistance to the Nazis and actually had to endure some of the things that the Nazis in Greece did. So this parallel he is making could not be more insulting and incendiary to the people of Greece, quite apart from the fact that it is totally untrue. Erdogan spends all his time now, so far as I can see, either insulting his neighbors or picking fights with them, which he now is invariably losing. I don't see how this helps him, and I don't see how this helps Turkey.
How does it move the needle on his problems Alexander with the European Union and trying to extract more money from the European Union by coming out openly. And this is the second time he said it, actually, openly saying, let them in Greece and let them go up north or to wealthier countries in Europe. What kind of strategy is that?
Well, it's the strategy. It's the strategy of a blackmailer. I mean, it's a blackmailer who's trying to do this. He's saying to the Germans and the French, "Give me billions, or I'll give you migrants." I mean, this is not the way a statesman behaves. It's a way a blackmailer behaves. And of course, countries like Germany and France don't like being blackmailed, and that will make them very, very angry with Erdogan. And I'm sorry to say, also very, very angry with Turkey. So
what does it tell you about his disposition, though, his mental capacity, by saying it so openly? I mean, it's like he's not even hiding his cards at all.
No.
Isn't that odd?
He's not. Well, it is extremely odd. I mean, as I said, it shows a fundamental basic failure to understand how a statesman behaves. And what it is doing is it's isolating Turkey. And it's isolating him, a leader who's made enemies of absolutely everybody, all his neighbors. The Russians are angry with him because of what happened in Idlib, as we saw when he went to Moscow. The Americans are angry with him because of the way he messed up their strategy with the Kurds and the way he got involved with the Russians with the S-400 sale. The Greeks are now furious because of the threats he's making against their country in relation to its maritime borders, and and also now with the migrant issue and calling them Nazis, which, as I said, is an extremely incendiary thing for people in Greece. And the Europeans are angry because they feel they're being blackmailed. Now, can I just, by the way, say that what Erdogan says, that the Greeks should allow the migrants in and then they'll just leave Greece and go to Germany, is absolute nonsense. Anybody who knows how these things work knows that Greece would be breaking its agreements with the Europeans if it did this. And to the extent that these people claim to be refugees, the European Union agreements require that refugees make their application for asylum in the first European country that they reach. So if Greece let them in, they would have to stay in Greece to the extent that they are, as Erdogan claims, refugees at all. So this is a completely shocking behavior. It's wrong at multiple levels. It insults Greece. It puts enormous pressure on Greece, which is, as I said, trying to deal with this problem that Erdogan is orchestrating to the extent, the best way that it can. It infuriates the Europeans. And we saw that for once, when Erdogan went to Brussels, the Europeans said to him, no. So, you know, this is not a winning strategy. It's not working for Turkey. It's not working for Erdogan. He needs to stop and reverse it. It's time that he started to behave like the statesman he wants to be, or says he wants to be, and the kind of statesman and leader that Turkey deserves.
And this is coming from a man who has purged his military, imprisoned thousands of journalists, waged an illegal war against Syria, funded ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, harbors jihadist terrorists in his own borders. And this is coming from him. Comments on that thought, Alexander. And finally, the comments on the timing of all of this, because all of this is going down when Europe and the entire world, but especially Europe, is trying to come to grips with COVID-19 and coronavirus. This is the last thing, the absolute last thing the entire world needs. But Erdogan continues to push and push like a spoiled little kid.
Well, yes, I mean, it is. He is. I said recently about how MBS in Saudi Arabia is behaving like a teenager, you know, smashing the furniture when he doesn't get what he wants. Erdogan is doing exactly the same. And I know we get all kinds of people from Turkey who comment on our threads. Perhaps they should reflect on that and, you know, the kind of impression of Turkey that Erdogan is creating. And it's not just in Greece, it's all over the world. And the points you made about the situation in Turkey, it is getting very fraught there. Lots of journalists are, I mean, Turkey, I believe, is now at the absolute top amongst countries that arrest journalists. It's civil society is under huge pressure. Erdogan is concentrating more and more state authority and power in his hands. His economic decisions are becoming increasingly eccentric and whimsical. And frankly, I don't think this is working out for Turkey at all. And as you absolutely rightly said, when you are collaborating with militant jihadi groups in Idlib, which includes Al-Qaeda, when you've been involved with groups like ISIS in the past, well, you know, you should be the last person to start throwing stones. If you throw stones like that and call people Nazis, you know, you run the risk of having thrown boulders thrown back at you. Because frankly, it seems to me that any comparison of the way the Greeks have been behaving and the way Erdogan has been behaving don't work at all to Erdogan's advantage. And I'm being extremely polite and restrained and measured in what I've just said.
Alexander, finally, wouldn't a prudent, rational leader at a time like this, once again with COVID-19 and coronavirus and the global panic that is setting in and growing on a daily basis, wouldn't a prudent leader just say, look, 60-some% of you are from Afghanistan, 20% of you are from Pakistan. We have this global pandemic now. I'm sending you all home.
Well, what a global...
Why can't you just do that?
Well, I mean, it might be difficult
instead of to North Europe.
Yeah. Well, it might be difficult for him to actually deport these people because, bear in mind, well, because of course Afghanistan is unlikely to want to take them back. I mean, that's one of the problems. I mean, that's one of the things that he has done is by pursuing this policy of acting as a kind of transit hub for people from all over the Central Asia and the Middle East to pass through. He's to some extent created this problem for Turkey. Bear in mind, it's he who destabilized Syria. It's he who's been pursuing these overambitious policies with Central Asia. What he needs to do, he needs to stop digging first. He needs to repair relations with his neighbors. He needs to understand that with COVID-19, with coronavirus, you need to stop movements. That's what everybody's doing. They're stopping movements. They're not accelerating them. He needs to close Turkey's borders, bring these jihadi people under control, work with the Russians to find a face-saving way to get all those young Turkish soldiers out of Idlib so that they're no longer in danger. He needs to come to terms with Assad in Syria so that Turkey again has a stable and secure partner on its southern border. He needs to do deals so that the Sunni people in Syria don't feel threatened and the refugees that he's hosting from Syria do go back home in the way, exactly the way that you said. And he needs to start mending fences with the great powers and accepting that Turkey isn't a great power and cannot behave like one, and that his actions are creating problems for Turkey instead of solutions. That's what he needs to do. And firstly, coming back to what he said, he needs to close his borders. He needs to close his southern borders with Syria, and he needs to close his borders with Central Asia. He'll get all the support he needs if he does that. And he needs to work with the Europeans to do it. And he will find, if he does that, that there are people who want to help him.
Final pushback, final question once again, Alexander. Maybe it's an international legal issue, international law issue. If I have an Afghani passport and I'm seeking harbor in Turkey and the Turkish government says you need to go home and the Afghan government doesn't accept me, I'm still not finding the connection here.
Well, if the Afghan government doesn't accept you, there are all kinds of international. You can't just put people on planes or then drive them across your border, because, of course, then the,
you know, you can't deport them back.
You can't deport them back because the Afghan government won't take. If it doesn't take them back. If you want to get take them back, you have to speak to the Afghan government. You have to secure peace there. Erdogan should be pushing for peace in Afghanistan. He should be pushing for peace everywhere. That is what Turkey needs. He ought to be making peace with Syria so that the refugees from Syria in Turkey go back to Syria.
Trump is pushing for peace in Afghanistan.
Exactly. So he ought to be supporting.
Isn't this a perfect timing? Isn't the timing perfect?
Well, exactly. It's not yet settled, but he should be the strongest advocate for peace. And in the meantime, he should be saying to the Americans, to the Europeans, look, I'm hosting all of these people who are the product of your wars in Afghanistan. Help me deal with them. Help me deal with them until I can find ways to send them back. That's what you do. And with Syria, sending them back is in his hands, because more than anyone else, he is the person who holds the keys to peace in Syria. All he needs to do is to pick up the telephone and talk to Bashar al-Assad and come to an agreement with him. The Russians will help him do it. That will end the war with Syria. The refugees from Syria who are being hosted in Turkey can go back, and I believe it's something like 3 million of them. The migrants who are on the Greek border may be primarily from Afghanistan. But most of the migrants in Turkey, I believe, are actually Syrians. It's clear they don't want to go back to you. They don't want to go to Europe. They want to go back to their own country. And if he stabilizes, if he helps the Americans and the Afghans stabilize Afghanistan and bring an end to the war there, then he can end that migrant crisis as well also. That's what he needs to do.
So simple.
So simple, absolutely. And constructive. And it would enhance Turkey's prestige. When a few years ago, before all this began, people looked up to Turkey. They said, this is an Islamic country that's developing along proper lines as a stable democracy. And that's the way to make Turkey. People look up to Turkey to see Turkey as an up-and-coming, powerful country. What was it Deng Xiaoping said when he launched the great program for reform of China, which has now established China as a great power? He said that China should rise invisibly. It should make no problems for the countries around it, so that nobody was afraid of China's rise. And it should be the same with Turkey. Nobody should be afraid of Turkey's rise. Why does Turkey want to have arguments with Greece, arguments with Syria, problems with Iraq, problems with Iran, problems with Russia, problems with the United States, problems with the European Union? It doesn't help Turkey in any way. And a responsible leader of Turkey would start to think in those terms and would start to prioritize those sorts of issues, building good friends with all the neighboring countries so that these migrant problems can be contained and ultimately solved, as they can be.
All right, Alexander Bekirs, Editor-in-Chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Smash that like button. Check your subscription as well, guys, because YT is unsubscribing people a lot in mass. I am seeing it from the dashboard. So make sure you're still subscribed to the channel. That really, really helps us out. And also donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. You will find a link in the description box down below. And look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video as well. And go to the Duran shop, pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, and awesome apparel, t-shirts, polos, v-necks, all kinds of good things. And we also have a special partnership and special offer via our partner at Patriotic Legacy. And they are giving a 20% off their Patreon Beacon product. 20% off when you use the code Duran20. The link is in the description box down below as well. It is an awesome product, Alexander. Just as awesome as magic mugs.
Awesome is the word. This is the Patreon Patriot Beacon. This is the best torch I have ever owned. It is strong aluminium torch. I, as I was explaining, to Alex. Before, I'm a person who absolutely loves driving. I go driving from London to Berlin, as I did recently, or I drove from London to the Alps to Savoie in France. That involves a lot of night driving, by the way. You need a good, strong, handy torch like this one, which has every conceivable accessory you could imagine. So it's solar powered, so there's no chance of it, you know, running out because the battery stops, which has happened to me with previous torches and can be incredibly infuriating. You've got a very strong magnet, so you can put it on the side of your torch where you of your car where you can get hold of it. If anything happens, perish forbid, you can smash a windscreen. It's got the hammer there. You can use it as a hammer. You can actually cut your seatbelt too. It's got a seatbelt cutter. It has a wonderful light, as you can see. Well, I shouldn't point it straight into the camera. It can do all kinds of things. It can flash. It can do all sorts of things like that. It's extremely strong torch. It is practically indestructible. And it also has a compass. So if you get lost, you have your compass there. I do, by the way, get lost lots. I sort of wander around on mountains. People will remember I was in the Peak District recently or in the Alps. Well, you've got a nice compass which will help you get your bearings again. And of course, it's got this other thing. It's got an alarm, which immediately, you can't see them, but it attracts my dogs if I am in trouble. And of course, this is a wonderful thing to have when you're walking your dogs too at night, as I do. In fact, I was doing it only last night. I don't have very good night vision. By the way, when I drive, I have night vision glasses, but I don't obviously wear them when I'm walking. And in order to keep track of what my dogs are doing in the dark, well, this torch is absolutely perfect for that. And because I am someone who fumbles a lot, it's a torch which, because it is so strong and beautifully made, it is practically indestructible. So if you want the best torch in the business, this is it, the Patreon Beacon. And Alex, at the end of this video, will tell you how to get it. And of course, it isn't just the Patreon Beacon what we have. We also have equally amazing products of our own. We have our famous Duran mugs. I said that I fumble and break things. Well, I've had my Duran mugs now for over a year. Not a single one is broken or chipped or cracked or discolored in any way. And that tells you what great mugs these are. Our shirts are equally amazing. 100% cotton, all of them. I'm wearing the long-sleeved T-shirt today. But other days, as you've seen, I wear my amazing polo shirts. We also have V-neck shirts and short sleeve T-shirts, all of the same quality, all with the Duran logo, the double-headed eagle there. And we've also got hats and hoodies and stickers. And we've also got our amazing ebooks on Russiagate and Epstein and Ukrainegate and Brexit. You can find all of these on our shop. You support us by coming to the shop. As Alex said, YouTube cuts our subscribers numbers from time to time. So we need all the support from our viewers that we can get. And you will also be the proud owner of these great things, the things we make ourselves and the Patreon Beacon. If you need one, not just want one, but need one, because everybody should have one of these. So come to our shop. Support the Duran, be the proud owner of these great things. Alex will tell you how.
TheDuranShop.com, you'll find a link in the description box down below, and the Patreon Beacon, you will find a link and the discount code Duran20. Put Duran20 at checkout. It helps this channel out a lot. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.